You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Ron Bronson. This is Daily Local News for Thursday, May 4th, 2017.
It was, at the time, the hardest thing I've ever done. But I really like the idea of pushing myself harder and harder and doing exponentially more and more the hardest thing I've ever done.
A local resident talks about his plan to set the speed record for paddling the length of the Mississippi River in a canoe. That's coming up later in the show on today's episode of Big Talk with Michael Glab.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street, asks what advice local residents have for new college graduates. But first, these local headlines.
Seven of Indiana's nine congresspeople voted this afternoon to repeal parts of the Affordable Care Act. Ultimately, the House of Representatives voted 217-213 to make major changes. The precise cost and impact of the bill is unclear because the House passed it before the Congressional Budget Office could review it. A previous version of the bill was expected to result in 24 million Americans losing health insurance. District 9 Representative Trey Hollingsworth, who represents most of South Central Indiana, including Monroe, Brown, Lawrence, and most of Morgan counties, voted for the legislation. Hollingsworth released a statement this afternoon in which he said the bill was built on, quote, conservative principles, end quote. Hollingsworth also lied about the bill's contents, claiming the legislation is, quote, protecting those Americans with pre-existing conditions, end quote. In fact, the new bill would partially undo current protections for those Americans. Would also allow states to apply for waivers so insurance companies could charge higher premiums to certain people with pre-existing conditions. The bill, known as the American Health Care Act, would add billions of dollars to what are known as high-risk pools, which are designed to offer coverage to otherwise uninsurable residents. But analysis of the Center for American Progress found that it would leave nearly 850,000 people with pre-existing conditions not covered. In Indiana, about 12,000 residents with existing illnesses would theoretically have no coverage. The American Health Care Act would also allow companies to charge older people up to five times as much as they charge young people. Under current law, companies can charge three times as much. The health care bill would now be considered by the Senate, which is expected to make major revisions.
The Bloomington City Council expressed their disappointment with the Indiana legislature last night. District 2 Representative and Council Vice President Dorothy Granger criticized what she characterized as state overreach after the legislature approved last-minute changes that halted city annexation plans in a budget bill. Granger says she believes a powerful person or people convinced Republican legislators to introduce the provisions which specifically block the city's annexation plans.
So we don't have the opportunity to make this decision about annexation. The state apparently doesn't trust us to make our own decisions that impact this community, not Greenwood, not Indianapolis, and that disappointed, and I'm angry. Disappointed in the person who did that, and disappointed rather than that person or business or whomever have really trying to work with members of city council or work with other groups who are working on this issue to bring forth amendments to make those changes, but rather than play ball with the rest of us, they went to Indianapolis. So that hurts. The decision belongs here. Whether you like it or not, the decision belongs here in Bloomington.
District 6 City Council Representative Steve Boland echoed Granger's comments, saying that members of the City Council have been making, quote, good faith efforts to meet with all concerned citizens who would have been affected by annexation, end quote.
All that was ignored by the State House. All of it was bypassed by a last-minute section inserted into the last bill that the General Assembly heard before adjourning sine die, which means that's it for the year. And without being heard in either the House or the Senate, without having any public comment issued on it, regardless of how you feel about annexation. And there were many people who were unhappy about it. Regardless of how you feel, you should be no less happy with the undemocratic way that the State House handled the issue.
The provisions of the state budget bill include a five-year moratorium on Bloomington's annexation efforts. During his remarks to the city council, Volin read from a transcript of public comment held over the changes to the budget bill. In it, State Representative Matt Pierce, whose district includes much of the city, questions the budget bill's sponsor, State Senator Tim Brown.
Representative Pierce asked him, so as we near as we know, it impacts only the areas around the city of Bloomington that might be annexed. Representative Brown said yes. Representative Pierce said, and so who requested that we put this provision in the budget bill that had not passed either house? Representative Brown said, again, it was brought by some citizens and also through their one of the other state representatives that represents Monroe County and some of the business of Monroe County, citizens and state representatives and businesses.
Volin cautioned residents of areas considered for annexation not to be too enthusiastic over what he called the undemocratic way in which the State House handled the issue.
The clear intent of it was for only to apply to Bloomington. Again, think of this city what you will, if you are not someone who wants to be a part of the city. But, you know, the action taken by the state should give everyone at least equal pause, if not greater pause. I don't think anyone here, anyone outside of the city, wants to live by what is effectively decree. I'd rather live by the rule of actual law determined by appropriate public process.
City Council President Susan Sandberg invited members of the public to join in a forum held today at 5 p.m. to discuss the state legislature's actions. Sandberg will host the forum along with Mayor John Hamilton.
We'll be talking about some of these legislative session results that will impact the city of Bloomington and not in a positive way because of the increasing invasion into decisions that should be left to local officials to make. This goes back a ways from our efforts to try to protect our environment by banning single-use plastic bags, our concerns about public safety with respect to guns, any number of issues pertaining to the civil rights of individuals who live in our community. And so we have enough concern that we all need to stand up and think about what is happening to us against our own will.
The next city council meeting will be held on Wednesday, May 10th at City Hall.
A prosecutor in Muncie is actively fighting a development of a syringe exchange program there. Delaware County Prosecutor Jeffrey Arnold disapproves of needle exchange programs, and he urged county officials to draft a resolution opposing them. Needle exchange programs aim to reduce the spread of infectious diseases like HIV. Last month, the Indiana legislature passed a bill, subsequently signed by Governor Eric Holcomb, allowing counties to start exchange programs without state approval. A report from the Governor's Task Force on Drug Enforcement, Treatment, and Prevention found that needle sharing declined 85% among those using an exchange program, but participants did report injecting drugs more often. Arnold says offering equipment was enabling drug users. Quote, there are only two things missing, heroin and a lighter, end quote.
Indiana's 2017 trout stream season opened this week and will continue through the end of the year. Personnel at the Department of Natural Resources have stocked roughly 22,000 rainbow trout in 17 streams across the state, and brown trout will be stocked in mid-May thanks to the Wolf Creek National Fish Hatchery. In order to take part in the trout stream season, anglers 18 and older must have a trout stamp and a valid fishing license. The daily bag limit is 5 trout, and no more than 1 can be a brown trout. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Carolyn Vandewiel.
And I'm Ron Bronson. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Michael Waterford is an explorer, writer, and adventurer. Entrepreneur. He's hoping to set the speed record for paddling the length of the Mississippi River in a canoe. The Mississippi is the world's fourth longest river, coursing more than 2,500 miles from Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico. Michael was drawn to grueling expeditions when he crossed Europe and Asia on a small motorcycle 6 years ago. Now he helps others test their endurance and strength through his company, Mountain Folk Adventures. He expects to set off on his Mississippi quest in June. He joins Michael Glab on this week's edition of Big Talk.
Hi, this is Big Talk. Michael Glab here. My guest this week by phone, Michael Waterford. He's a writer and explorer. He's also an adventure entrepreneur. He's going to engage in something called the Race to the Gulf 2017. That means he's going to jump in a canoe at the headwaters of the Mississippi River all the way up in northern Minnesota, Lake Itasca, and paddle 2,500 miles, according to some estimates, down to the Louisiana Delta and the outflow of the river into the Gulf of Mexico. Sounds like a crazy thing to do. First off, thanks, Michael, for being with us.
Thank you.
Why are you going to do this?
It's been an idea of mine for many years. I have actually done the river before, and it was, at the time, the hardest thing I've ever done. But I really like the idea of pushing myself harder and harder and doing exponentially more and more the hardest thing I've ever done. So I've done the river once. Now let's try to set the speed record.
Now, you wrote a really interesting and compelling story for the Limestone Post, detailing a bit about your adventures in your 2013 canoe trip down the Mississippi River. You had hardly ever been in a canoe before that, and next thing you know, you're paddling down, trying to paddle down 2,500 miles.
You're absolutely right. But spontaneity, to me, is kind of one of the cornerstones of adventure. Yes, it helps to be prepared, but sometimes, and for that expedition specifically, it was about the journey and the learning, the hardships that would come across from that intense learning curve. And I wouldn't recommend it all the time, but sometimes that spontaneity adds to the thrill of it all. And I consider myself a decent paddler now after that.
How many hours a day are you actually paddling, and how many miles in a day are you able to make?
This upcoming trip will be a bit of a test of those limits. First time down, I think my best day was around 70 miles, and our worst day was around 3. Serious headwinds and a storm and some rough waves kept us in Lake Pepin for about 3 days. This particular Race to the Gulf expedition, I'd like to average over 100.
100 miles a day.
Yeah.
Can you get lost?
Sure. One place that I've been preparing for is up in the north in Minnesota. There are just lake beds of reeds, and you can't really see your way through. But, you know, we've got things in place that should help us get through those sections. So GPS units and maps.
You have done 5 major expeditions.
The one that got me into all of this was the Mongol Rally. Is it's a poor man's motorsport rally across Europe and Asia. And actually in 2011, before I did the first Mississippi River trip, a friend and I joined in on that and rode 125cc motorcycles, which is very small, from Germany to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, over a couple months. It was about over 11,000 miles in 11 countries. And I fell in love kind of with, I don't know, the ever-changing scenery and the pursuit of right now. What I have to do is just find a way to get to the next point kind of mentality. And I think that ever since then, with all of my adventure pursuits, I've just been trying to recreate that feeling.
Michael, you think that there are other people in this world who have that same desire, and that's where the mountain folk comes in, the mountain folk adventure outfit. You help people take expeditions as well.
I've outfitted quite a few people for their own trips, as well as hosted and taken people on trips. In the Bloomington area specifically, I used to do, you know, a couple events a month, and it did everything from 5Ks to bicycle races to, I actually helped a few people do the Mississippi River on their own as well.
Anybody who's interested in Michael Waterford and his Race to the Gulf and the Mountain Folk, you can go online to racetothegulf.com. You also can go to his Facebook page. That's where you can learn all about what Michael Waterford is doing. Michael Waterford, who was born in Bloomington.
That's correct.
Right now, you're cooling your heels in Portland, Oregon.
Well, I'm working actually at a paddle shop, a kayak shop, right on the Willamette River, which is a large body of water that runs through Portland. And it's just been really good for training, getting out. I can get out every day before or after work. It's really, really conducive to paddling, and I've got a coach out here and all the gear in the world that I would need, and just kind of, it's a paddler's mecca, if you will.
There is a team of people who's going to help you do this.
My support team is two ladies that I'm super proud to have as friends, and now fellow adventurers. One is Abby Kaser. And I met her while working in Bloomington. She's from West Lafayette and came to me to help outfit her for the Mississippi River. She's paddled it once before. She's my crew chief and photographer. And then second is Tracy Krupa, TK. She's an EMT, Navy vet, and kayak instructor who's also done the portions of the Mississippi River. She's out of Illinois currently. She's come on as kind of, my overall fixer, and I'm thrilled to have them. They're going to be traveling on the shore in our support vehicle and making my life just a little bit easier so I can just concentrate on moving forward. Traveling the river, you got to work with, the Coast Guard and the lock and dam masters and talk to a lot of barge traffic and make sure the way is clear and that I'm in good health and not, overworking. Yeah, they've got their work ahead of them for sure.
Besides getting squished by a barge, what are some of the other dangers you might face?
Well, big water is, has its secrets. there are, one of my biggest fears is buoys that have been submerged due to flooded water because they can bounce up out of the water at any point in time and they would just demolish my super lightweight tiny craft. But there can be entire trees floating submerged underneath the water. There can be crazy eddies that want to spin you out of control and can sink a boat. It's big water and all the dangers that come with it, as well as vast wilderness areas and industry, and there's a lot of dangers, but I won't say that it's all hard. There'll be some good weather days where all I have to do is go forward as well. So it'll be a mix and match of the dangerous days as well as the easy days, and I kind of look forward to both.
Michael Waterford, he's going to jump in a canoe, and he's going to paddle 2,500 miles from Lake Itasca to the Louisiana Delta along the Mississippi River. Thanks very much for joining us on Big Talk.
Thank you, Mr. Glab.
Support for WFHB comes from Monster Digital Marketing, offering digital marketing solutions for small businesses. Monster Digital Marketing websites are built for search engine optimization with both the desktop and the mobile device user in mind. Located at monsterdigitalmarketing.com or on the phone at 317-567-1197.
Support also comes from MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
And up next, our weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street.
Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents.
This week on Voices in the Street, speaking from experience, words of post-graduation advice. This time of year, high school and college graduates alike celebrate having reached one of life's milestones. At the eve of commencement, we have asked local Bloomington residents for advice and words of wisdom for our local graduating seniors.
It's tough out there. Get busy if you're not a good studier, but you made it through college. Think again, work hard, use good sense, quit partying if you've done that. It's a brave new world, and it's time to get busy.
Choose a school based on where you want to go, not what anyone else wants to do, and have fun, play hard, study hard. But yeah, stay in school, don't do drugs. I think that's all I got for you.
Don't just go to college to go to college, I guess. You know, look at, you know, I don't know. This is a society that's built on failures, really. You know, somebody's got to make the Whoppers. You know, so do what you need to do. Do what you need to do.
The exact opposite of what I did. I would have graduated high school. I would have gone to college, and I would have had a job. So do all those things.
It's nuts because I'm actually a high school teacher at Bedford. Today a student asked if he should join a frat, and I told him no. And he asked why, and I told him the story about an unfortunate incident at my college involving hazing, and I said that I just didn't think that it fostered a good sense of community. Don't join a frat.
Be nice to the ladies. Take gender studies classes. Learn about women.
Obey your parents, stay out of trouble, and hang with the good crowd, not the bad crowd.
Dr. Doss.
Natalie's advice is don't do drugs.
Yeah, don't do alcohol, don't do drugs.
Stay in school, yeah. Go to college.
Oh gosh, I would say get as much real world experience as you can, even if it's for free during your summers. Ask your dad to, like, talk to his friends and get you a job at their office during the summer. I think real-world experience is what really counts on a resume.
Well, I guess this is a local thing, so just enjoy Bloomington and the wonderful town that we live in before you have to leave.
Always be truthful.
Well, if you know what you're... Well, if you have a job, hang on to it with both hands. And if you are going on to college, you have to work really hard because only really the top students are going to be guaranteed that they'll have something to pay their student loans off with when they get out.
I would say if you don't know what you're doing, you don't have to rush into college.
And I definitely would say I encourage you to rush off to college. And here's why. Even if it's not important for your career, it is very important for social growth in a way that you won't realize until it happens. You don't even know that you need to grow this way. And even if you drop out 2 years later,
from a graduate and a dropout. And I won't say which one is which, but I am saying you don't have to rush.
Well, so long ago. Stay true to your goals and your dreams. Stay true to it, no matter what anybody says.
Well, I always say, if I knew what I knew then, what I know now, my life would be totally different. So take your time to make your decisions and don't be afraid to go for it.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Joe Crawford, Tara Fahimi, and Kathy Norton, along with Wes Martin for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glapp.
Voices in the Street was produced by Barbara von Bravosky. Our engineer today is Chris Martin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, this is Ron Bronson.
And I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, independent daily news program.
Stay tuned for Bullying Out, Indiana's only LGBTQI public affairs show, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.